All right, so today's reading comes from Luke chapter 6, verses 39 to 49. He also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. This is the word of the Lord.
Shall we pray? Lord, I just pray that you take my words, that you make them yours, that you will just speak into our hearts and minds, that you will flood us with your spirit, and that we may take something that you want to say to us this morning so that we can follow you more nearly. In Jesus' name, amen. So, just a little reading, that one. It's only 10 verses, but my goodness, does it pack a punch. It was huge, and I thought, oh my goodness, where do I go with all of that? It's a continuation of what we've been doing on this sermon on the plain. And so I thought, well, how can we draw this together? So, Gay, can you just put up the first one? I thought, really, what we could sum it up with is following in the footsteps of Jesus. And so I've tried to sort of gather the different pictures that we had, these wonderful snapshots, and put them into this idea of following in Jesus' footsteps. Because when we go right back to the beginning, I think it was Chris, I can't remember who preached on it first, but it was when Jesus calls his disciples, you know, and what does he say? Does he say, come and find out all about me? No. Does he say, come and worship me? Does he say, come and believe in me? What does he say? Come and follow me. Now, I don't know about you, but these days we have lots of following, don't we? Yeah? We can follow this and that and all sorts of things. And some of the times I don't even know what I am following. And then Rick might have been looking up things on washing machines. And then all of a sudden I'm getting all these things about washing machines coming up on my feed. So we have to be careful, don't we, what we follow. I said this is my sermon props, also keeping me nice and warm in the cold aircon. But I follow Stephen West. Yay! Claire knows what I'm talking about because he makes these amazing designs, these shawls. So I think he's worth following. I also follow Henry Nguyen and Richard Rohr. And I have lots of those sorts of things coming into my feeds. But what does it mean about to follow? What did Jesus mean when he said to follow? Because I don't think it's about getting blogs through on your phone. I think it is much more about he was calling them. And what did they do? They gave up everything. They gave up their family. They gave up their lifestyle. They gave up their money because of that huge amount of fish. They just walked away from it. So what does it really mean to follow in Jesus' footsteps? What does it mean when he says, come follow? It's come follow me. Live with me. Live my lifestyle. Learn from me. Learn from my teachings. As it says at the end of the passage that we just had, put them into practice. Imitate me. Come and be like me. That's what he's saying when he talks about following. So then if we go from that into some of the bits that he's been talking about. So it's one verse. Verse 39 is a blind leading the blind. Okay, so you've got a nice picture there. Picture of a little man leading someone else, both blind, and they look like they're about to fall into that hole. Now my question to you is, can the blind lead the blind? I used to work for the Foundation for the Blind as an orientation mobility instructor. And that is to help people get around when they haven't got any vision. So I will tell you that I can teach people who are blind how to get around. And when I went for my insurance to become self-employed doing this, they said, what do you do? I said, I help blind people cross roads. So I had to have a very, very high amount of cover. But I want to introduce you. Sorry, did I say something wrong? Anyway, what I want to do is I want to introduce you to Daniel Kitsch, who you can see just there. He's got a long coat in that picture on the right. And he is working with this little boy here who's blind. Now, Daniel Kitsch is totally blind. And he is an amazing orientation and mobility instructor, and he helps the blind lead the blind. I had the amazing privilege as well when I was teaching at Massey to teach people who were blind how to teach others how to get around. A wonderful privilege. And it is amazing because they know exactly how they do it. Not all of them can become orientation mobility instructors. They have to be very good at what they're doing. They have to know exactly where they are and what they're doing. And so what can we say about this? Is it important? What's important about the blind leading the blind? It's about knowing that you know where you're going. So the person who's guiding knows where they're going. They can navigate and they can keep safe. They know that that man there who's got his cane over a big hole will know that he can tell when his cane goes down a big hole and he'll be able to navigate around it. The same thing, this is what Jesus is saying, is follow people who know where they're going. Follow people who have got the skills to teach you how to get around and know where you're going. Yeah? So it's not about whether we're physically blind or not. But what's important we can extract from that is you actually have to know what you're doing. And you have to be very focused because you have to really keep your mind on what you're doing and where you're going, what you're sensing, what you're picking up. There's a huge amount of discernment involved in that. So there's two things. It's important about who we follow, who we choose to follow. Yes, we're following Jesus, but we might also have a spiritual director or a mentor or somebody else. So we should select them carefully. And then if you are the guide, you have a huge responsibility to actually help people find their way. It's a huge calling. So then the second verse, verse 40, next slide. It says that a student cannot go beyond their teacher. What do you reckon on that one? Is that a yes or is that a no? Can a teacher go beyond, a student go beyond their teacher? Had a mixed reaction there. I think it's the role of every teacher, actually, to make sure that their students go beyond them. And I know when I was teaching at Massey, one of my biggest privileges was working with people who were doing their PhDs, who actually became far more expert in what they were doing than I was, and went on to be their own international experts in the field. And what was so exciting to see that happen. And it was almost like you could feel it happen. There was that shift when you might question them on something and they go, well, no, actually, it's blah, 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 blah. Okay. Think you know now, you know. This is it, because you can justify what you're saying. So it's the same thing. Yes, we're following people, but as people who are guiding and mentoring and leading, we need to be encouraging people to go beyond, to follow Jesus even better, to do living into their gifts and their skills so that they can become much greater. Jesus said it himself in John 14. He said, anyone who has faith in me will do what I am doing. He will do even greater things than those because I am going to the Father. And he, when he goes to the Father, what's he do? Sends the Holy Spirit so that we are empowered to go beyond and do even greater things. So we need to strive to imitate, but go beyond. Beyond those, use our gifts, use our skills, be empowered by the Spirit to carry on and lead. Next one. Okay, so take the plank out of your own eye. I don't know about you, but I find it incredibly difficult to try and get something out of my eye. And it's very annoying, isn't it, when you get an eyelash and they just cannot get it out. So it's hard enough getting something out of your own eye when you've got something, let alone trying to then take something out of somebody else's eye, which I'm not very good at either. But what was Jesus really talking about? He's already talked about judging. So I think this is much more about what motivates our judging. Understanding our worldviews. Understanding where we come from. What our values are based on. If we really analyze and look at those, then we are much better prepared to be able to hear other people. Yeah? Because I think a lot of the time we don't even realize why we think like we do. And that's why we end up judging and thinking in this way other people. Particularly when we can keep them at a distance. There are people over there. But by looking at ourselves and thinking, why do I think the way I do? It might be because of our training, it might be because of our family, it might be because of the faith we were brought up in, it could be a whole range of different things. But why do we think like we do? Why does that make us react to this in this way? How do we do that? Well, I think we need to then listen to the other people. Really listen. Try and understand why they think like they're thinking. Where that's coming from. Another way I think is good as well is I often pray and say, Lord, help me understand what's going on here. Where the truth is. What's going on in this person that's making them behave or whatever in this way? What's going on over here? We have lots of examples of how we could do that at the moment if we just listen to the news. What is instigating some of those responses on those ways of people being? Help us to understand them and not just react to them. For me, it's around the principle of wanting to understand rather than be understood. That whole St. Francis of Assisi prayer. Help me to understand. I think it's a really good place to start. To understand where others are coming from. And then you can understand much more and approach them. And they will give you much more respect and trust and will listen to you much more if you have done that listening to them. The next one. Fruit and trees. I've got a tree at the moment, my lemon tree, and it's not very happy. It's looking and it's sort of, the fruit is, it's got fruit on it, but it's looking a bit like an apple. It's a bit sort of mangled. And you think, well, what's causing it? Is it got feet that are too wet? Is it too dry? Has it not got enough citrus fertilizer? I'm not very good with plants. But we know, don't we, that if you don't want fruit like the nice apples on this side, was it that side on your picture? That side, sorry, I'm having to reverse it. On that side, then you have to look after your tree. You have to prune it and care for it and fertilize it and spray it with stuff and do things so that you get nice fruit rather than the manky looking apple on the other side. So we know that, don't we? We know that good fruit comes from good trees. When we're thinking about people, what are we talking about? What are we talking about? Fruits. Well, we had that last week from Andrew. Can we all remember what they are? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Self-control. There's nine of them. As we see these in other people, we recognize it as good fruit. Thing is, when I'm looking through that list, I'm going, oh dear, not always very gentle, not always very kind. Don't always have a lot of self-control, especially when chocolate or something is concerned. So it's easy, isn't it, to think, yes, we can see these fruits in others. But why is it important? Again, what's important, it comes back to motivation, doesn't it? Because what happens is it shows us what's going on in our hearts. Why am I not gentle? Why am I not kind? Why am I grumpy at the moment? You know? Because it comes from in here. It's our heart. You know, and that's what it says. Jesus is often saying, isn't it? It's not about what we put into our bodies that's important. It's about what comes out. It's what comes out of our heart where we speak. So again, it's important as us as we follow. It's important for us as we lead. And again, how we follow Jesus. I was thinking, yes, we need to prune, we need to get rid of it. We need to look after and nurture those things in our hearts and get rid of the bits that aren't so good in our lives. And that reminded me of that Philippians reading, which is, you know, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right. Whatever is admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, think on these things. Yeah. And for me, it would be stop scrolling on Facebook, stop listening to reading very depressing things about Donald Trump, and read my Lectio 365 instead. You know, because it's what we're filling our heads with to a degree. Is what feeds our heart, which then goes on to produce, hopefully, good fruit. And if it doesn't, we need to cut it off. Not very good at that. Last one. Last story. Last picture. And I kept thinking, BJ, you should be doing this one. I remember when you were going to do it, and then you ended up getting a really horrible topic. So you can go and talk to BJ all about foundations. But as I was thinking about it, when I'm thinking about houses, the last thing, and this says a lot about me really, is I don't think about the foundations because I can't see them. And they're not very exciting. Actually, they're probably the most important thing in the house rather than what colour the walls paint, whether it's got the right ambience in that particular room. So why are foundations important in a house? I say, talk to BJ, because I'm sure he'll know much more than I do about it. But it provides stability. It prevents it collapsing, like this one, that one. Prevents it from collapsing under a heavy weight. Yeah? They have to be durable. They have to be constructed of sturdy materials and a very careful design. So that they can withstand challenges. Yeah? Could be floods, could be earthquakes, could be fire, could be all sorts of things. They're actually essential for success of the house. If you haven't got good foundations, then the house will fall down. And the other thing, and this is one I just want to throw in, is about flexibility. Because I don't know about it. Who's been down to Parliament, to the Beehive, yeah? Seen those amazing base isolators. It amazes me that you've got these things that sort of can move. They're sort of like, are they like springs? I don't know, DeBJ, what are they like? Don't know, but what they do is they can move 30 centimetres in all directions. Which means that they have got the flexibility that in an earthquake, they will hold the building steady while the earthquake is going on. It reminded me a little bit as well, because we used to live in a pole house where we had these huge, great big poles that held our house up. And in an earthquake, what happens is the earthquake goes up the poles. It's the most incredible experience to feel, going up the poles. Same principle, though. It helps it to be flexible. So it made me think about it. Thought, yes, we do need strong foundations. Where do we find our strong foundations? In Christ, in doing what he says. Not just learning about it or reading about it or studying it or doing anything else with it. Doing it. Doing it. That's when the rubber hits the road. It's funny. Sue reminded me the other day of something I said to her years and years ago when she was in my Alpha course. And she said, I said to you, how can I grow in Christ? And you said to me, serve. Apparently she hasn't forgotten that. But it's true. It's as we do the work of Christ that we grow our foundations and they get stronger. So that when the storms of life hit, when the earthquakes hit, might be all sorts of things, mightn't it? Might be the death of a loved one. It might be financial issues. It could be a whole illness. It could be a whole range of things. When they hit, then you will stand firm. Yes, you might have a little bit of flexibility. You have the stability. You have the durability to hold. And I know, you know, sometimes when these things hit, they are a huge challenge to people, aren't they? Huge challenge. And I'm not one, you know, I don't want to judge, but I know that sometimes it's like you can react, you blame God, you can do all these things. But actually, if we come back to strong foundations of loving God, loving others, as we love ourselves, then we will hold in those times. And we, as a body, help others stand in those times. We don't do this alone. That house is not just one person. That house is all of us together, holding ourselves strong. It's the body. So I asked her, okay, if she could go back to the beginning. What do you notice about that picture? Sorry? Bleeding feet. Lots of feet. There are lots of feet, yeah. Nail holes. I didn't notice it at first until after I was looking at it and I was thinking, you know, yeah. That's the hurt. That's the suffering. When we follow, we don't just follow in the good things. You know, we don't have a prosperity gospel that says you come to Jesus, everything's great and rosy and lovely. We follow no matter what. We follow in the hard times. You know, I always think it's amazing, isn't it? When Jesus was resurrected, he still had the holes. He was totally renewed, resurrected, but he still had the holes. We carry our hurts, our pains, as we follow. We are stronger because of them. We are stronger because together we can walk. So let us be careful who we follow. Let us strive to do the best that we can, better than those who teach us. As teachers, as people who follow, help us to push people forward and up, to show them the way to go, that they may become greater than we are. Help us to always be self-reflective of who we are, what our thoughts are, why we're coming from where we're coming from, so that we can walk alongside and encourage others. Help us to be bearing fruit. Help us to be open, to be pruned, to be cared for, so that we can grow in our fruit. And help us together to be the body of Christ, supporting and encouraging and having good foundations so that we can support one another. As I was sort of thinking about this, and particularly I mentioned about the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi, where we can be understood, to understand. I'd love to just end with that prayer, because I think in many ways it just sums up how we can be following in Christ's footsteps. So let's pray. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.